Hello and welcome to the Food for Kids podcast. I'm Joanne from The Foodies. Today's episode I think is going to be helpful for a lot of parents because I'm talking to the fabulous Emma from Dietitian with a Difference about fussy eating. Emma's a paediatric dietitian with many years experience in the NHS. She focuses primarily on fussy eating and allergy issues. She puts out loads of great content on Instagram to help to reduce mealtime stress for families and to give parents tips on how to introduce children to foods in a way that feels gradual and safe for anxious eaters. She's a mum herself who has lived through fussy eating and allergy issues with her own little girl, and she's incredibly realistic, practical and kind. In this interview, we're talking about how to know if your child's fussiness is just a quote unquote normal level of developmental hesitancy around new foods, or whether you should consider asking for advice from a professional. I think a lot of us worry that we're either making a mountain out of a molehill or, on the other hand, writing off actual eating issues as just a stage. So Emma's very helpful in this interview in flagging up what to look for and how to understand where your child's coming from. I hope you enjoy it. Here's the interview. Okay, so I'm here with Emma, who's a children's dietitian with a difference. I think a lot of parents that listen to this show are really worried about their child being a fussy eater or a picky eater. And I know that like most kids are picky sometime to some degree, but how do you go about knowing whether or not your child is quote unquote normal fussy eating or whether it's a problem that you should seek help with?
So that can be hard to define as such, but I think one of the main things that we look for is the number of foods that they're eating. So we tend to say if they're eating around about 30 foods, then they're probably just more of a fussy eater. If they're very restrictive and they're eating less and less foods, they're cutting food groups out. So they might cut out protein, so meats, you know, fish, beans, anything else like that. They might cut out that group, but they might start cutting out all fruit and vegetables. And the more and more restrictive it gets, the more and more I'd be concerned about nutrient deficiencies as well. Okay. And what's very common is particularly like iron deficiency and zinc deficiency. It can be quite common in these children. And the thing with the iron deficiency is often the more deficient your child gets in iron, the less they actually eat. So it actually affects their appetite more.
Oh, wow.
And then also the other thing, but they also, a lot of these children tend to be very constipated because again, if they've cut out a lot of food groups, they're not having much fiber, they're not having any fruit and vegetables, they can end up quite constipated. And that again, in its own right, can make them even more restrictive with eating as well, because they feel so full, they're in a lot of pain with the tummy, they then don't want to eat. So I would say if your child's starting to really cut out food groups, and also there can be a lot of sensory issues as well. So again, if your child's almost got like a fear of food, and it's more underlining than just, you know, they just don't like this broccoli or they just don't like this, but they actually like are really fearful of the food and they really can't cope with this. Like it's almost like sensory overload. They don't want to touch the food. They don't want to smell the food. They don't want to be in the kitchen when you're cooking. Mm-hmm. Then I would definitely speak to someone, potentially start with your GP, see if you can be referred to a dietitian. Occupational therapists work really well as well with a lot of sensory issues. And I know in my trust, and I've worked with a lot of OTs who help a lot of children with sensory processing around foods as well. So I would definitely say my first point would be to the doctor and ask for a referral to a dietitian and start the process off that way.
Okay. And presumably if you're going to go and ask for help, like it's quite helpful for you to have like noted down some of the things. So note down what foods they are and aren't eating and what symptoms they're having in terms of, like you say, constipation or stomach ache.
Yeah, definitely. Start by making a list of all the food that they will eat. So what we call like safe foods. Also probably make a list of foods that they used to eat and they potentially started cutting out, just so you can see a bit more of a pattern as well.
Okay.
There is an eating disorder actually called ARFRID, which is a new, which was only recently sort of recognized in like 2013. And that's for children with very extreme restrictive sort of eating. So it's really important that you do speak to a GP if you are concerned or your child's displaying any of those sort of restrictive eating signs as well. It does have to be diagnosed by a paediatrician, ARFRID. So don't just self-diagnose it. Do speak to the medical professional. But there are rising cases of children with ARFRID that we're seeing.
Okay. So if a child comes to you either through your NHS work or as a private client, and they are fitting this bill of being very restrictive eating rather than dealing with ordinary family fussiness, what do you then do with a family? Like, how do you help your families and what do you advise them?
So first of all, we do a full sort of medical background, understand what foods they are having, what foods are safe foods, what nutrients are they getting? Are they actually getting all the foods in the different food groups? Okay, maybe there's not much variety, but they are having, you know, some protein, some dairy, some, you know, carbohydrate. They are covering most of the food groups, which is a really good place to start.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd look at those sort of strategies to try and reintroduce new foods. I mean, I tend to normally start with looking at what's going on in the family. Sometimes it's useful to get little videos of what mealtimes are actually like.
Right.
Sometimes it can be that the mealtimes are just really, really stressful. And actually there's been a lot of pressure on the child to eat, and parents have, you know, at their wit's end have gone like, you know, down that very pressurized route of saying, you must eat everything on this plate. You're not leaving this table. You're, you know, not to blame anyone or thing. You know, we've all gone through those stages as well. We just think we'll just eat something. So just look at trying to make mealtimes fun again. So if they eat their safe foods for a bit, then that's fine. Always produce their safe foods. I never don't have an option where there's nothing that they're going to eat on that plate. That's just going to cause more anxiety.
Yeah.
And actually, you're better off starting with just having those safe foods available to start with and looking at making mealtimes more fun again. Okay. And then I would say also we look at getting away from the tables as well. So getting away and doing things like messy play, especially with younger children. So we're just touching and playing with food, feeding the teddies, even feeding the parents, and just making food sort of fun so they can explore it. Because there basically are 32 steps to eating, and only the last few steps are actually eating the food. So sometimes you need to go through all of those stages first before your child's actually going to start even attempting to put that food in the mouth. And just trying to reduce the anxiety associated with meals as well. And even like things like running around and burning some of that anxiety off before they even have to get to the table. And I think also there's no quick fix. Like, I'd love to give people like a magic wand and just say like, right, just do this and your child will eat everything and it will all be fine. Because sometimes it's not. And sometimes it takes a long time. And sometimes those changes are really, really tiny, especially with children with Arthrid or like, you know, children with extreme sort of fussy eater. Change isn't going to happen overnight, and it's going to be a very small change. So I always say to parents, write down any small changes. So like, even if you're starting with just changing the color of the plate or changing the cup that they drink with, that is still a change. Like, it can be that small.
Right.
And you know, your end goal might be massive and you might want them to eat broccoli or whatever you want them to achieve, but you're not going to get there without these tiny, tiny little steps all the way through. So I think it's patience as well, and trying to block out some of that, you know, from family. Why does your child not eat? What are you doing wrong? Because you're not doing anything wrong. So it's taking it at their pace as well. And in the meantime as well, the other thing is just making sure their diet is really balanced. So even if they're not having all of those food groups, so at the moment, maybe we're going to look at some better multivitamins or some that contain iron and some that contain omega-3, because they're not getting any of those nutrients in their diet at the moment. So let's cover all of that off, make sure they're getting enough protein, everything that they need. And then we'll work on introducing new strategies and new foods and that sort of side. But let's just focus on making sure their diet is balanced and they're getting the nutrients that they need.
Okay, so just providing that kind of reassurance to the parent. Because what the parent's worried about is two things, isn't it? One is my child in danger of harm now with what they're not eating? And secondly is, are they always going to be this way? And am I going to be able to help them to have a healthy relationship with food as they get older? And it's really difficult to work on the second one if you're so scared about the first one that like they have to eat this meal right now. Whereas if they're getting expert help and some supplementation, you can at least put that to bed and go like, I know that their body's getting what it needs this week. So this week I can afford to work on the long-term relationship things.
Yeah, and I think we do get some with like faltering growth. So they've lost quite a lot of weight and they're not, you know, proportional for their height and weight. And then we do prescribe what we call like oral nutritional supplements.
Right.
So again, these are supplement drinks that have got like all the vitamins and minerals and protein and all the calories that they might need. So we can provide all that support as well so that you don't have to worry.
Really good to know. And presumably, like here we're talking about children that have reached that threshold of having very restricted eating. But presumably most of those things still apply to ordinary family situations where a child has just started being more fussy about food. This kind of like taking the anxiety out and building familiarity away from the table. And obviously, you know, that's a lot of what we do with the food is building that familiarity away from the table. But presumably that's all the same sort of advice you would give to somebody. If you just were having a cup of coffee with somebody and said, my kid's becoming a bit picky, it would be the same sort of things.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, in terms of advice, yeah, I think, again, it's just making mealtimes fun again. I always say things like having theme nights, getting a child involved in cooking, getting them involved in baking, all of those sort of things. So it doesn't have to be about eating the food. It can be about just getting them involved with food, being in the kitchen. And even if to start with, they don't want to help you with the cooking, at least getting them involved in laying the table even. Like I call it like what we call food rehearsals. So, you know, maybe they can be in charge of turning some music on and pouring water for everyone.
Okay.
Or maybe their job next week can be that they serve everyone at the table, depending obviously on their age. So you can get them involved with food without actually them having to eat it to start with. So there's lots of ways you can make food fun again for them. So it's not, you know, not this really stressful thing. And at the table, just don't talk about food. Like you don't need to talk about what broccoli does or why it's good for you. If I was to say to you now, right, I want you to sit an exam on a topic you never even looked at. You have to pass it. And now I want you to eat a roast dinner as well. You're not going to feel like eating it. Like, no. You don't want to eat if you feel anxious. So why is your child going to eat if they feel anxious? They're not. So you have to take that anxiety away from them and them know that they've got food that they're going to eat. So they're not hungry. And then try that new food, maybe not even when they're hungry or even at the table.
Yeah. I mean, there's some mechanism, isn't there? I probably butcher this, but is it the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous system? Is it like that actually when we're in that kind of anxiety state, our bodies deliberately shut down our digestion in order to enable us to escape whatever's making us anxious?
Yeah.
They're like, what you're saying is kind of, it makes sense really, that why would we want to eat when our body's telling us we're in danger? It wouldn't, would it?
No, it's the last thing we want to do. So you have to think about ways to reduce that anxiety for your child. And there's lots of strategies as well, as like things like just before meals, so, you know, preparing your child for a meal. So don't just say like they're in the middle of, you know, playing their favorite game or they're, you know, coloring or something like that. So right now food's ready, get on that table this minute, you know, actually prepare them like 15 minute warning before, where, okay, now in 15 minutes tea's going to be served, so let's prepare, let's get our hands washed, help me with this table, you know, get them in the right mindset for eating as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't really thought of it that way around. But yeah, the all those little rituals about getting the table ready and getting ready to eat are telling your brains that it's time to eat and not time to do whatever they were doing 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. And I think sometimes, you know, we're so stressed and we're like, come on, get to the table now. Your food's ready. I've served it, you know, and there's not that time for them to prepare.
Yeah. And also, I suppose when we're cooking the food, we're doing all of that preparing because we're thinking about the food.
Yeah,
so right up until that moment, we're sort of preparing our own system for eating, whereas if they're literally on Minecraft, their brain is not thinking about food in any way, shape or form, is it?
No, definitely not. And I think, you know, eating is not just about putting the food in the mouth. It's very sensory based. I mean, you know, if you've got a cold or you can't taste anything, you don't really feel like eating a lot either. So again, it's all sensory and it's all the senses that are involved in eating as well.
So that's some really helpful advice there about, you know, what you should be looking out for as to whether or not you need to go and get some help to boost your child's nutrition while you're working with them. And just some general strategies that you can do, whether you need help from a dietitian or not. And as regards the sensory issues that Emma touched on several times during that interview, we are going to do some episodes coming up that are more focused on those sensory issues. So look out for those. If you'd like to get more of Emma's tips and practical advice, she's called Dietitian with a Difference more or less everywhere on social. And I'll put some of her links in the show notes. At the time of this going out, which should be the 9th of June, she's got a free masterclass on tomorrow night, Tuesday the 10th of June, which is all about tips to get your child to eat the same family meal as everyone else. So if you hear this in time, go to her website and sign up for that. If you listen to this after the masterclass, she does run different ones pretty regularly. So if you follow her on Instagram, you'll be able to catch the next one. So thanks for listening today. I'll see you on Thursday when it's a solo episode. I'm going to run through 5 family meal ideas that are simple and fairly child friendly that use some of the seasonal produce that I listed last week. There's 3 main courses, a dessert and a snack idea, and links to them too. So I hope to see you then. In the meantime, happy eating.